Welcome to The Lorraine Murphy Show. I'm an entrepreneur on my second business, a mentor, an author, wife to a fellow entrepreneur, and mother to a magical little girl. On my podcast, I explore topics that fascinate me that will help you unlock ideas to rise even higher in your life. Myself and my special guests will be talking entrepreneurship and how to build better businesses, organization and figuring out how to get more shit done quicker and smarter, staying in touch with our soul, and how to blend business babies with real babies. Let's jump in to this week's episode. Hello. Welcome to my business highs and lows of 2020. To be honest, as I'm recording this, I have no idea what day it's dropping. So I'm actually going to just record this in its, almost like a self-contained bubble, because I've got some other holiday episodes coming your way. And yeah, I'm just going to focus on business for this one, and then we can kind of join the dots. You can join the dots in your own time with different episodes as well. So I felt like I had to do this again after the massive response to my episode like this last year. So just for context, if you're not familiar with the two episodes I did last year, during kind of Christmas and New Year, I think it was, I dropped a business highs and lows episode of 2019, which feels like a lifetime ago. And also a business highs and lows, and also a personal highs and lows of 2019. And yeah, a lot of you requested that I do that again this year, which is good, because I was already planning on doing it, because I loved doing these episodes last year. Because they're also great for me. Like, they're really reflective and give me a chance to kind of think back. I was like, oh, what did I do in February, March this year? So yeah, I think we can all agree that this was not the fucking business year we were all expecting. My God. I don't think I've ever had a year where the goals got readjusted so many times and the curveballs just kept coming. So for any of you listening who have your own businesses, I just want to say hats off to you for making it through this year, even if I know for some of you, talking to my community, some people have decided to go with employment for the time being or put one of their businesses on pause and focus on another one. You know, we've all had to make the decisions that we needed to make in order to get ahead this year. So I just want to commend you for just being here still at the end of what was an incredibly tough 2020, whether it was tough because your industry was one of the particular industries that got impacted. Saying that from very close experience with my husband Wade's business, who has been, yeah, their business is essentially in impact and travel, and it's been incredibly impacted this year. So I've seen firsthand in our own household what that looks like, the COVID impact on businesses this year. Or if you're one of the businesses that actually did incredibly well during COVID and you kind of had the opposite problem whereby you were struggling to keep up with demand for your businesses. I know, speaking to my mastermind, my love club and my mentees, those people who had e-commerce businesses especially did really, really well this year. But I also know it can sound like that kind of growth is brilliant to have, you know, record-breaking months, month on month. But at the same time, it also brings with it its own unique set of challenges. So yeah, regardless of what your business journey was this year, I just want to, as I said, commend you for making it through. And I am so incredibly proud of each and every one of you for the decisions that you made for you, for your business, for your families this year. And I really do hope that 2021 is filled with abundance and success and fulfillment and contentment and joy for you and your team next year. So I'm going to jump into my highs and lows. And when I was doing this, my highs list is actually three times longer than my lows list. So that's pretty cool. Pretty good result from the year. So I'm going to jump in. So I've tried to do this. I'll do two highs and then one low. So kind of jump between both columns. And how I actually prepared this episode last year and how I'm doing it again is I've literally got a list. I've got a line down the middle of my notebook, and I've got a list on one side of all the highs and a list on the right-hand side of all the lows. So this is a very, very unscripted episode. I actually think that's what is the magic of episodes like these. So yeah, who knows what's going to come up in this episode as we go through it over the next hour or so. So first high, let's jump straight in, 2020 high. First one was podcast feedback. So I have just loved running this podcast again this year. I started it in August 2019. So it's been going over almost a year and a half now. And it's one of my favorite things that I do in my business. I absolutely love creating these episodes. Kylie Camps, one of my beautiful friends and very smart business owner, said a while ago that she finds such ease in her podcast. And I feel the very same with this. You get on, you record, you submit it to your producer and it's done. You know, there's no laboring over particular words. And I think also it's such an intimate medium. So when people say, I listen to you on my morning walk, every Friday morning, I'm waiting for your episode to come out. So many people have said, I had a big drive for 4 hours today and you kept me company the whole way through. It's just such a beautiful, intimate way, I think, in a way that a webinar or an Instagram post doesn't have that same intimacy associated with it. So yes, thank you to each and every one of you who have listened to the podcast, who have taken the time to give me feedback and also done all the lovely things that help podcasts grow, like liking and reviewing and what's the other thing? Sharing the episodes with your friends, of course, as well. So I think that's been a really big high, is just feeling that this podcast and the episodes that I create they seem to really be making a difference for the people who listen to them. So thank you so much. And so second high that I wanted to share from 2020 was creating my Create Academy program. So I knew that I wanted to create a new program this year, and I was really percolating on what that might be based on conversation with my mentees, feedback to podcast episode, questions that I get a lot on Instagram. And I was really pondering, okay, what could this new program be, given that I talk about a lot of different things? And I cooked up the idea to help people with their creativity because it was something that was sparked by, it was my chicken soup conversation with Michelle Broadbent on my team. And she said, I think her words were that I was really prolific. Like she said, you can write and create shit really, really quickly. And it really got me to thinking about, okay, what is it that I do? Like, why am I considered so prolific? And I broke down the process that I have leaned on in order to I guess, get my creativity skates on. And I said, I want to put this into a program and I want to collaborate with a couple of awesome people. And I sent it to AJ on my team. She's my Make It Happen manager. And I sent her an email saying, look, this is what I'm thinking. And she was like, I don't get it. I just don't get it. Why? Like, I don't get it. And I was like, oh no. But I really had such a strong hunch that this was something that my community would really benefit from. So I cracked on. I approached Dr. Christy Goodwin, who created a module in 1 week of the program, which is all about helping us navigate tech, because that's obviously such a gobbler of creativity. And also Helen Jacobs, the psychic Helen Jacobs, who I adore, who essentially taught the group how to take their idea from, she calls it a soul seed, and then create a living, breathing entity from whatever that creative spark was. So Create Academy was such a funny one because it was a bit out of left field, I think, for anything that I would create before. I've created before, and it went so well. I did create it as more of an accessibly priced program. It was $149. And I did, as a result, I kept it quite low touch because I launched it June. So we were still in the thick of the COVID crazy. And I wanted to create something that, you know, wasn't going to, yeah, it was excessively priced. I also created it. It's quite low touch for me and the team to manage. And it just went so well. And even now I'm getting messages from people who said, this was my Create Academy project and they've got their podcast live, or they started their book, or they've launched their business or their side hustle. It's really, really cool. So I really loved Create Academy because I felt like it was born as a result of me being in tune with my audience and what they would love and what they would benefit from. So that was the second really big high of this year. It was a super fun program to create. And also, it really opened my eyes to the potential of collaborating with other experts. So having Helen, having Christy on the program with me just added so much extra clout to the program. And it meant that anyone going through the program, my students, as I call them at Create Academy, they really got to learn from more than me. And it was almost like the sum of the parts was so much stronger than the individual parts on their own in isolation. So that was a real eye opener for me. Just first of all, the whole sense of, okay, yeah, I do know what my audience wants. And secondly, then that opportunity to collaborate, because it can be quite a lonely affair. I'm used to my previous business for 5.5 years. I had a team. We sat next to each other each day. There was a huge amount of collaboration, not just with my immediate team, but also the influencers that we represented, the clients that we looked after as well. So it was really nice to kind of have a taste of that collaboration again. And it's definitely something I want to do more of in the business going forward. Okay, so the first low, and I mean, by far and away, this is the biggest fecking low of this year, was just canceling my retreats due to COVID. So in February, I think I made the call to postpone my Bali retreat. So I should have been taking 14 women to Bali in May. And I made the call in February. I called each of them individually and said, look, I don't want to cancel the retreat because, I mean, I still obviously want to make this happen for you. And God knows those women were like crying out for a retreat. And that was way back in February. But I also said, I don't want to keep it and you hope, you know, fingers crossed that we'll be able to go because I would hate for you to be, you know, feel anything but anticipation and excitement about going on this retreat. It would be so sad if you were just stressed about it the whole time. And I really feel that the benefit of retreats is the anticipation of actually going on the retreat and all of the beauty of what you're going to look forward to when you get there. So I decided to postpone that in February. As I said, I spoke to everyone individually on the phone and everyone was so incredibly accommodating and understanding and also really sympathetic for me as a business owner and where I stood, you know, having a sold out retreat that now, you know, we didn't know if it was going to happen or not. So I moved the retreat to October because I felt like we'll be out of this in June. It will be totally fine. This is all, you know, an overreaction and so on. And so that was pushed back to October. And then we got to October and we got to September. I was doing my quarterly planning. So I do my kind of next 90-day plan the last week of every quarter. So I was planning for October, November, December in late September. And I was sitting around my kitchen table with Michelle and AJ and I was just saying, look, I'm really stressing out about this Bali retreat. I've got these women. A lot of them have paid up front for the entire retreat. I feel awful that I can't create the retreat. And God knows they needed it a lot more at the end of this year than they did even going into 2020. And also just purely from a commercial perspective, I'm holding funds for people. Of course, as happens, some of that money gets absorbed into other aspects of the business. I'd paid a lot of deposits for different accommodations and suppliers and obviously travel over in May. So yeah, it was a pretty scary place to be in late September. So again, hit the phones, got on the phone to every single person who had booked to come to Bali and tried to see if there was an alternative, what we could create, whether I could take them on one of my NUSA retreats or transition them over to mentoring. And funnily enough, most of them, the vast majority, took up the offer of mentoring, which was amazing. And it's been really interesting working with those particular women. I think I've started with most of those women now. We're kind of into the programs already. A couple of people are starting early next year in 2021. And it was really interesting having gone through the work, you know, started the work with them, and them saying, I would never have actually reached out to you for mentoring. And yet it seems like this is exactly what I needed in the first place. So it's been really, really rewarding getting to work with them. And at the first session with each of them, I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm not in Bali with you right now, but this is the next best thing that we can create together right now. So and I think canceling the Bali retreat was, I mean, initially postponing it and then having to actually cancel it, like just accept, like it's not going to be realistic. Really, I think until 2022 that I could take a group to Bali. And it was just too long to keep that tab open for, you know, not just me, but for everyone who was booked to come as well. And then, so that was kind of May, didn't happen. We pushed it back to October, then we canceled that all together. And then in September, I was meant to take a group to Noosa. So of course, me, ever the optimist, was like, okay, if I can't take someone to Bali this year, then I'm going to take them in Australia, like domestic retreats. So I came across a beautiful retreat space in the Noosa hinterland and promptly booked retreats in for September, December and February, thinking this is gold. Australia's on top of this. You know, there was zero issues at the time about borders. And then, of course, the Queensland Premier, who is not my BFF of 2020, I can tell you that much. And she closed the borders. So she decided to close the Queensland borders, which meant that we got to, it was 30 days away from us, meant we were supposed to depart for the September retreat. And the borders were still closed and it was just too close to call. I just couldn't be confident that she would open the borders in time for the retreat. So I had to cancel that one. So what we did with that one then, again, hit the phones, talked to every single person individually, personally. And I tried, I mean, first option was to transfer them into December or into February, which most people did. And then if that didn't work, then mentoring. And if that didn't work, then work for them, I mean, a refund. So most people did mentoring, interestingly enough. The kind of second biggest group was to transition over to December or February. And then there was only like a couple of refund requests, which was just amazing. And yeah, again, people were just so incredibly supportive. So then we got to October, and we get to the end of October, and there's still no signs that the borders opening, so I had to cancel the December retreat as well, which was just, yeah. I don't cry much over business stuff anymore, but there was a lot of tears over that. Mostly because I realized the borders, it was a couple of days before my birthday. Myself and Wade had booked to go to a hotel on Friday night, and I'd gone and worked from the hotel room for the day on Friday in the city. And the Queensland Premier was holding a conference, press conference, in mid-morning Friday. And I was eagerly watching this conference. And then I had a mentoring call, so I needed to get off. I was on the mentoring call, and I just had a message come through from AJ on our team WhatsApp group just saying, ugh, and that was it. And my heart just sunk into my shoes because I knew it wasn't good news. So basically the Premier said, we're not going to review the borders again until the end of, what would that have been, end of November. So, of course, I was like, that's it. I'm not going to take this anymore. I'm just going to move the retreat to New South Wales and fill it up. Because that was the other problem. That retreat in December was only half full because, of course, no one was going to book when they didn't know what the border situation was going to be. So me, and I literally visualized this every fecking day for a month, I was visualizing the borders opening, me being able to send out an email to my email list saying, hey, borders are open, got 7 spots, you know, first come, first serve type thing. So I had a half full retreat. So I was like, okay, could I actually move it to New South Wales, try and get the people who've actually already confirmed to come to New South Wales for it, and which actually ironically would have been fine because it was regional. So people could have flown down from Brisbane. There was a couple of Queenslanders booked in for the December retreat, and, you know, zero issues. Just makes no fucking sense. But anyway, I won't get into Queensland government policy for the purposes of this podcast episode. So, and then we had found a venue. Danelle had spent quite a lot of time over the weekend finding a venue. And then I had a call with the team on Sunday morning after I dropped Lexi to school. And I was just saying, look, we've got this venue. And it wasn't of the caliber of a venue that I would want to host a retreat at. I've got kind of a specific eye for the kind of venues that I would host retreats at. And I just really wanted to make it work. I just wanted to say fuck you to the Queensland government and just say I'm not going to be cheated out of even more revenue as a result of this craziness. But the team, you know, the team said, look, it's not what we would want to create. And I was like, you're right. Like, you're 100% right. And I just came home and just sat on the front doorstep and just had a cry because I had a shower to try and sort my head out. So yeah, it was just shit. And just letting down so many people who really, really needed that retreat, those retreats, plural. And, yeah, obviously a lot of lost revenue as well. You know, to half fill that retreat would have been quite a bit of revenue for me. So that was a big low, but that said, token compared to the massive disruption that many, many other businesses have experienced this year. And I'm very, very, very mindful of that and aware of that. And, you know, me crying about my cancelled retreat to Noosa when Wade's been dealing what he's dealt with in his business and his team all year long. It's, you know, and he hasn't cried once. Lorraine, put on your big girl pants. This is very, very token compared to what other people are dealing with, not just in Australia, but globally, of course, when it comes to business ownership. Okay, so this next one is funny because it's living in the highs and the lows column, which sounds a bit strange, but the high was my Get Remarkably Organized program launch. So we did that over August, September. And I was going into this all guns blazing because I hadn't actually done my Get Remarkably Organized program for a couple of years. And the kind of organization side of things is pretty much what I'm mostly known for. And I had decided that this is it. I'm finally going to invest in paid social media ads, which I'd never, ever done before. Massive, massive block around that. And I committed to saying, okay, this is going to be the biggest program I've ever done in terms of program signups. And I set a target of 200 people that I was going to get involved in that program with me. And I was so excited to help that many people through this 8-week program because it's a pretty comprehensive one. And engage an amazing launch strategist called Jacqueline, and it pretty much, that launch was pretty much the entire of Q3. So all of July, August, September was devoted pretty much to that Get Remarkably Organized program launch. So I'm saying it was a high because it was my biggest program to date, and that was a really big psych thing to hit. We reached just over 170 people on that program, which is massive, and just, yeah, epic gratitude to every single person who invested that money in themselves in that program in that time. And it was also a really big high for me because it was the thing that pushed me to overcome that challenge around yeah, paid social. I had such a massive psych block around having paid ads for me on Instagram and Facebook, which, I mean, looking back now, I'm like, that makes no sense. But really, do our blocks ever make sense once we actually break through to the other side of them? So that was a really, really big one. I think also epic collaboration with the team. We had our usual team of brilliant suppliers, graphic design, video, photography, web design. We just had the crack team again, team that I've worked with, Jesus, probably 3 years now. So that felt really great to be so collaborative and supportive and challenging each other's thinking throughout that launch. It was, yeah, a massive high of this year. Now, the reason it's in the lows camp as well is that it was just beset with tech issues. So we had originally planned to keep the card open for 2 weeks. And then our Facebook ads, so our Facebook ad account, for whatever reason, Facebook gave no apology, no explanation, and never actually reinstated my ads account. They just canceled my ads account for 5 days mid-launch, as in like critical period of the launch. And as a result, our brilliant social media guru, Jane, created a brand new ads account. And she said, look, I'm going to try this, but normally Facebook is all over this like a rash and that they'll notice and they'll close down the second one as well. But they never did. And it's still open. So, hey, yay. Thank you, Jane, for your expertise on that one. And so that was an issue. So we said, okay, we'll extend the card open by another kind of 3-4 days just to give us kind of 2.5 weeks just to make up that time that we hadn't had the ads working. And then it came to Sunday. So we had decided to close the program on a Sunday because my friend Stace said that that's the best day for her. And we'd always closed our programs midweek normally. And we had planned, I'd written an email for 7 a.m., an email for 12 o'clock, and an email for 6 o'clock p.m. that day as a kind of last call, doors closing, some last kind of social proof for people as is good to do on the last day of a launch. And Danielle, so at the time we were using a CRM system called Agile. Please do not write it down. Never, ever, ever use Agile. We'd been having issues with it for pretty much since we started using it over a year ago. And they were never chronic enough that we couldn't deal with them. And as an example, one of the issues that we had with Agile was that we couldn't schedule emails. So if, for example, Danielle loaded up an email and said, I want to send this on Friday at 7 a.m., only 50% of the list would get it and we wouldn't know which 50% of it was. So as a workaround, and AJ had constantly said, like, we need to upgrade, we need to sort this out, but there just never seemed to be an inverted commas good time to do it. So we never dealt with the issue. And then Danielle messaged me at 10 o'clock. So she had physically gotten out of bed and gone to send the email at 7 a.m. And she messaged me at about 10 o'clock and she said, look, the email hasn't sent. And I was like, what the fuck? So I was like, that's okay. We've still got the 12 o'clock. We've still got the 6 o'clock. And she said, no, it's that they're going to be in a queue. So if I load up the 12 o'clock one, it's actually not going to send until after the 7 a.m. one finally delivers. So it was a really, really shit day. And to be honest, Monday was really, really shit as well, because it was the big hurrah. We'd already dealt with quite a bit of other tech issues that had come up as well. So what I then decided to do was on Monday, okay, we're going to extend the card open again by another 2 days. So pretty much meant that the card was open for 3 weeks all up. And we closed it on Wednesday. So it was just incredibly stressful. I was not proud of myself. I went to bits on the Sunday, which, you know, it's just so ridiculous when you think people actually have real problems. I was really hard on Wade. It was just shitty. Like, I just wasn't, I didn't comport myself in a way that I would want to comport myself. And it was, yeah, it was poor self-leadership on my part. So yeah, that was a low. That was one of the lows, big lows for this year. But as I said, it's kind of married up with the high of I did actually get my biggest program to date, which is brilliant. And so many people trusted me with their time and their energy and their money. So, I mean, as a result of that, as is always the case with these lows, there's always a hidden blessing. So as a result, pretty much the second cart closed, Get Remarkably Organized, we switched to a new CRM platform. So we're using ActiveCampaign, which has just been a freaking dream. It's more expensive, but AJ reckons we're saving a fortune just by being able to batch emails, for example. So if I write 4 Monday Mentors, which is the email I send every Monday, if I write 4 of them, Danielle can just go in and load them all up in one hit rather than having to go in individually 4 times. So there's been lots of little kind of time efficiencies there with that one. And also just knowing that the system's got our back, that's been a really, really big thing, because I would have been really anxious going into another launch and not knowing if fucking emails are going to send. Like, my God, that's just like launch 101, your emails need to be sent. So That would be a low. So as I said, a bit of a funny one because it's also quite closely linked with a high. So where am I going next? Next, I'm going to another high, which, so I decided to do my Step Into You program. I'd already actually launched my Step Into You program, I think a week before life went crazy in March this year. And I had put it up, I'd actually increased the price, which was in line with my strategy for the start of the year. And I just realized people are going through such an uncertain time. People don't know what their money situation is going to be. We don't know how long we're going to be in this crazy ass situation. And also I felt like this is the time that we need connection more than ever. And of all my programs, Step Into You is the most connecty one. It just creates this, I don't know, it's like magical, this magical virtual village of women who are just so happy to share and connect with each other. It's, yeah, I hate playing favorites, but it's my favorite program that I do. So what I decided to do, it was a bit of a kind of mid-shower moment of like, I'm just going to drop the price right back so I can get as many people on this as possible and help them as much as possible. So I brought the price right back to $99, which, and I'm not a fan of discounting. If anyone's ever been mentored by me, you know, I am not a fan. I very, very rarely, if ever, discount. So that was a pretty big deal. I think I reduced it by like, Jesus, I think it was a 70% discount or something nuts like that. But I am so glad I did that because I had, I think 110 women came through that Step Into You program. And yeah, particularly, yeah, it was just great, particularly for people who were struggling with lockdown and ISO and so on. It was a really, really good thing to do. And obviously did not make anywhere near the kind of revenue that I would have hoped to make heading into 2020. But I think the goodwill was payment enough for that for me. It was really, really special. So that's another high. Another high, actually, which is kind of linked to the Step Into You thing. Once we hit June, and I realized like I'm not going to get to do any face-to-face events probably for the rest of this year. So, and I love events. They give me that kind of little, that little boost of variety and excitement and obviously connection with my audience. So I decided to trial doing my first virtual event, and I did a, I called it the Bali-ish virtual retreat. So I got two of my favorite people from Bali. So I had Jimmy, who's my favorite healer over there, and Nadine, who's one of my favorite yoga teachers over there in Ubud. And with them, I created this beautiful afternoon of cacao and incense and oracle card readings. And it was really, really magical. And then from there, I actually went on to do, I've done a monthly event. I actually canceled a couple of them because we didn't get the numbers, which I'm very fine to do. I like to call it a heroic save. So for anyone who'd booked those events, I went to them and said, okay, look, I'm not going to go ahead with the event next week, but I'm going to give you all this. And they're like, wow, this is great. So big fan of the heroic saves in those kind of situations. But yeah, most events that we have put together as events. So I did a DISC behavior profiling workshop. I did goal setting and goal getting, which was my, that was the biggest one by far. That was amazing. And people still talk about that program. God, it was like almost 6 months later, which is pretty special. And I just love doing them because they, as I said, it gave me that opportunity to connect with my community. They were relatively low touch. It was me sitting down in my home office with some nice lighting and just getting to hang out with people for 2 or 3 hours. It was just magic. And we also created some really beautiful play. We actually, I think we created a playbook for every single one of those events. So they, I feel like we created a lot of value for the people who came to those events. And also we donated a portion from every single ticket to charity. So Step Into You mostly. And then for the last event, which was Christmas Fest just last week, we donated 100% of the profits to the Salvation Army just to help families who are doing it slightly tougher. Well, or maybe a lot tougher than normally this than they normally would this year. So I think they were really great because, as I said, it gave me a chance to connect with my audience, them to connect with me, particularly for the Melbourneites. There was a very, very high attendance rate for Melbourneites at all my monthly events, understandably given that they were in lockdown. And I think it was a real, I don't want to say lifeline, I think that's too strong, but it was a real morale boost, I think, for a lot of women to be on those events and feel like, even though they were in lockdown in Melbourne, that they were still able to connect with people in other states and learn something. And I guess just have a bit of fun and forget about the kind of the weight of responsibility around life and in lockdown for a little while. So I really, really love those monthly events. We've got more. January, I'm doing an event called 2021 is your year, which is walking you through my annual goal setting process. So that's January. In February, I'm doing an event called Staying on Track, which is all the tips and tricks and strategies and infrastructure that I use to stay on track myself. With all of my goals and commitments and habits and all the routines and all the great things that I want to make happen. And then in March, I'm doing another virtual retreat, which will be really, really fun. So That's the schedule for now. And yeah, at the end, I'm going to give you sneak previews to what's coming next year in the business. I'll talk about that more in a second. So that was another high, was those monthly virtual events. They were really, really special for me this year. So a low as such, and again, you know, the lows are inverted commas. I know that these are not world ending by any stretch of the imagination. So a low that I had was speaking, because of course that revenue and that opportunity to get out there and work with teams in person or large groups was non-existent this year. So, and it's funny because I actually had a really strong start to speaking. So in February, I flew to, I'm trying to get the timings right. In February, I flew to Brisbane and did a speaking gig for the team at Brisbane Airport. It was an International Women's Day event. So that must have been March then. Anyway, one trip I went to Brisbane, did an International Women's Day event with Brisbane Airport, and then flew to Hamilton Island the next day and did a speaking gig for one of the big banks, which was just magical. I was there for, I think, less than 24 hours, but I was like pinching myself going, this is what I get to do for work. And they were an amazing group, and it was really special. And then I did another trip the following week where I was flown to Wagga to do a 3-hour workshop on organization for Wagga Women in Business, which is like the Business Chicks equivalent in Wagga. It was super fun. I got dressed by a local boutique, got to meet so many amazing women, some of whom have gone on to be Love Club members and mentees. And yeah, it was really special. And the next day I flew and hosted, didn't realize it was going to be my last retreat for a very long time. I hosted a retreat for a group of entrepreneurs that I mentor, like past mentees and existing mentees in Byron. So, and then I got back from that trip on Sunday, the 1st of March. And it was like, okay, the world has changed. That will be it for quite a while. So I think with the speaking, I mean, I had some pretty big ambitious targets for speaking revenue and opportunities to speak with different companies this year. And that, of course, was not happening in the way that I expected that it would happen. What I did do is I took the proactive bull by the horns and created my own program. So it was a three workshop program called Remote Flow. And it stepped businesses and organizations through the three steps. So I had mindset, organization, and building a connected team. So that was, I did that for a few different organizations, which was great. You know, it was a way of me actually proactively going out there and creating speaking work rather than organizations coming to me saying, hey, we're hosting this conference, would you like to come speak at it? But what I really realized is that so much of the excitement and the fun of going and doing those speaking gigs is the travel, you know, the getting to go to a new location, being in a different place with a team who are also in a different location. It's really, really fun. And I realized it was a really big aha moment for me this year that when I am, it's boiled down to the pure essence of what the speaking is all about, which is me presenting my material to a group. I just didn't enjoy it as much. So that was a really big realization for me that maybe the new environment and the travel and so on, I can get that elsewhere. It's not, I mean, it shouldn't really commercially be the reason that I go and do speaking. So as a result, I've actually dialed down the amount of speaking that I want to do next year. I've increased my prices. And so my goal is it's a real quality over quantity when it comes to speaking next year. And you know, to be very, very frank with you, we don't know what next year is going to look like. Right now, Australia, we're doing incredibly well as I'm recording this in mid-December. However, we just don't know. So, and I think a lot of organizations are going to be quite hesitant to put on major events because they don't know either. So that was a low, I guess. I mean, I feel like I gave it a red hot crack at being as proactive as I could be. What I will say was that I was incredibly fortunate, and I do not take this for granted for a moment, that I did have the other revenue streams of the programs, the mentoring, Love Club, which I'll talk about in a second. Like there are other revenue streams in my business, because I have some friends whose and mentees whose businesses were speaking. You know, 90% of their business was speaking and going to big corporate groups and doing trainings and mentoring and so on in person. So I've been incredibly fortunate that I did almost have a safety net of other things to fall back on. It's almost like they're four legs in a chair. And I had one chair leg got knocked out, which was the speaking in person, but I had three other legs to keep the chair, now a stool, standing. So I think I was, yeah, I'm very, very grateful that I did have other things in motion. That meant that I didn't have the, like, you know, I've got friends who pretty much over 3 days, I think there was a particular 3 days in March where people just got the phone calls of death over and over again, whether they were in the travel industry or speaking or whatever different industries were affected, and it was just 3 days of shitty phone calls, and then at the end they'd lost 80-90% of their pipeline for the next 12 months, which is fucking hell, like a terrifying place to be. You know, that really, that brings out the resilience muscles when something like that happens to you in business. So while it was a low, as I said, I'm really grateful that I did have the other elements to fall back on. And I remember going on a walk with Lisa Messenger years ago now, and we were talking about, she's probably 3 years into the Collective Hub journey at the time. And I remember her saying, you know, people ask me all the time, like, what if someone else creates a magazine like yours? Or what if someone else starts to do the books that you're doing? Or what if someone else starts to do the events? And she said, we have done so much in such a short period of time that even if someone did start a magazine like us and that overtook our magazine in terms of revenue and sales and ad revenue, well, we've got the events. And even if someone did create a whole events company that's very like our events, well, then we've got the online products. So I really, really loved what she said, because her words that then, she's like, we want to be unfuckable with. Our goal is to be unfuckable with. And it was a really, it was just really reassuring this year when I realized that, you know, while a lot of people, my husband, say you do too many things in your business, there's too much going on, too distracting for you and your audience. Whereas, you know, this year that did really serve me when I did have a few different products. And to be honest, I think it's been a real eye-opener for me that, well, I kind of want to always have it that way, you know, have at least three revenue streams. Maybe some I focus on more than others, but at least three revenue streams so that if one thing does fall down for, you know, none of us thought a bloody pandemic was coming our way, but for whatever reason, that I do have, as I said, the other two legs in the stool to prop me up. And it's funny because it's me listening to my own advice. Back when I represented social influencers in my first business, the Remarkables Group, I would always say to them when I was kind of coaching or mentoring our talent, was I really want you to focus on having three revenue streams, because we can bring in hopefully lots of money for you, but for whatever reason, if client budgets change or you're a health influencer and that's just not the flavor of the month right now and clients aren't spending in that area, you're kind of up shit creek if you're relying on that revenue to put your kids through school and put dinner on the table. So I always advise them to have three revenue streams, ideally three. I thought that was a really nice number. So as a result, then they would focus on affiliate sales. They would focus on like digital advertising, like having ads on the sites. Some of them had their own online stores and coaching businesses. So yeah, that was a big realization for me. So it's like that was a low, the fact that I didn't have the in-person speaking. But at the same time, I feel like I had the safety net to catch me even, you know, regardless of that fact. And so I'm jumping back to high. So a massive high is my mastermind. So I don't talk very much about my mastermind because it's an invite-only group that I've created. But I was talking to one of my masterminders this morning on her monthly call. And I was like, this might be one of my favorite parts of my business. It's just got such flow to it. And it's funny because I had so much resistance to it. So if you're kind of new to the fam here on the show and my world, I did have something called Clan, which was a 12-month mentoring program for entrepreneurs. And it was my big thing. I spent 2 years pretty much building it. And it ended a bit sourly. There was just a weird mean girl dynamic that crept in with a couple of members at the very end. It was just very yuck. And happily, everyone else from that group, I would say on very, very good terms with, and most of them have gone on to do mentoring with me since then. However, I just had a sour taste in my mouth, I think. And which is funny because it was a mastermind. It's a multi-tiered mastermind, but I had run masterminds the previous 2 years very successfully. I actually started my first one when I still owned my first business, and then created the second one then as I was selling that business, and then kind of took all the knowledge that I built over those two 12-month masterminds and created Clan from that. So I finished that in end of financial year last year. So June 30 last year in 2009, that finished. And I just hadn't gone near doing a mastermind again. And I'd really focused on the one-on-one mentoring that I do. And then when I went to Bondi, so actually one of my other highs was how I did my planning this year. So once we emerged from ISO here in Sydney, I took myself away to Bondi for 24 hours and just said, okay, Lorraine, all the goals and plans that you created at the start of this year are now toast because none of us saw this coming. So, okay, what's the new plan? And I really dived deep into my 5-year plan, my 1-year plan, where I wanted to be, what I was going to make happen over the next 90 days. And I swear those 24 hours were the most valuable hours and high ROI hours that I had all year. I just got such clarity and such motivation. And yeah, everything just dropped in clearly for me. It was so good. And on the first night I got there, so I stayed at the QT in Bondi. And the first night I got there, I went and bought some beautiful bath salts, which I still love. And I got into the bath and this idea for this mastermind just dropped in. It was just like a download. It was like, okay, it's going to be this. It was just like so clear in my head. And I got out of the bath and I just picked up my A3 sketch pad straight away and got it down on paper. And I took the idea then to Michelle and AJ, because I'd actually woven Michelle and AJ into the mastermind with me, which I really, really loved, because it was almost like the mastermind get me, but also the benefit of my dream team as well. So it was just a really, really nice offer. And I took Michelle and AJ through it at our kind of quarterly planning the following Monday. And I was kind of hesitant to share that with them because I was like, I don't know if it's crap. I don't know if people will buy it. Like all the mean girl, imposter syndrome, self-doubt, all of the shit was coming up, resistance in a massive way. And they were like, we love it. We love it. We'd love to be part of it. It sounds amazing. And I was like, oh shit, they like it. So now I have to do it. And then the next day, it was a Tuesday, and I wrote up, maybe even I wrote up that day, I wrote up a two-page PDF on like a summary of what this was going to be. And we sent it to Jackie, our VA, and she made it look beautiful in Canva. And I sent it out. I had a list of women that I thought would be interested, maybe 10 women. And I sent it out, and 7 out of 8 of the spots on the program are gone within 48 hours. And I was like, oh my God, this is insane. And I had so much resistance to it. It was just such a good example for me of resistance is not our friend. You know, it's going to come up just when we're at the cusp of doing something awesome, and it's going to get more intense and more intense and more intense. And for many people, they drop off at that point. They go, no, it's too hard. The inner mean girl, as Melissa Ambrosini says, will get in the way too hard, and they won't push through. But I did push through. I got it out there. I sold it. And then the last spot was taken about a week later. So yeah, it's just had such beautiful flow. The group is incredible. I love spending time with every single one of them. They've bonded so well together as a group, you know, as well as they can with virtual Zooms and WhatsApp groups. And what I actually wanted to do, because the mastermind started in August, I wanted to take everyone on a retreat in September. But what happened was just people's calendars, like trying to get everyone in place, was like a feckin' nightmare. So we didn't end up going until November just last month. And it was so special. Like I've got interim survey results back from everyone just asking them how the program's going. And the retreat was their favorite of the whole program. So yeah, I just love it. I love my mastermind. So I'll be starting another one on the 1st of March. So if it is something that's resonating with you, do send me an email, because as AJ said yesterday in our annual team meeting, team planning sesh for 2021. She said, there's a lot of lurkers in your audience. There's people who just sign up for a retreat and have never heard their name before in your audience ever before. So if the mastermind sounds interesting to you, do send me a note. And I'll just kind of have you on my radar when I start to issue invites out. Obviously, you need to give first priority to everyone who's in the existing group. But yeah, really excited to do that and grow that again next year. That's been super, super fun. And I guess the reason I did want to touch on the mastermind, because it's kind of a weird one to talk about, because it's not like a program where I'm like, everyone can come. It's a very closed group. And I want to say an exclusive group, which it is. You know, there are exclusive women in there, incredible entrepreneurs. But I did want to say, you know, that of everything on this list, this highs list, that was the one I had the most resistance to. And I'm going to be really honest with you, it's also the most high revenue one. Like of all the things, that mastermind has brought in more money than each of those individual things, not combined, but of each of those individual things. And that's the one I had the highest resistance to. So I guess putting my mentoring hat on for a second, I would just challenge you with, what are you resisting most in your business right now? And what could the potential opportunity cost, literally physical price, money, opportunity cost be to you maintaining that resistance? So yeah, food for thought for you as you're planning your year next year, because that was a really big learning from me. And it's just been pure joy from start to finish. You know, everyone's been amazing to work with. There's been no drama. It's been marvelous. Absolutely marvelous. I've loved it. Okay. Another high. Well, this one's actually pretty hot off the press, because as I'm recording this episode, my Get Remarkably Organized audiobook is now a thing. It's now live as of this week. And my Get Remarkably Organized book was my second book. It came out in January 2018. And I've 100% lost count of the amount of people who've asked me if it's going to be an audiobook. And kind of myself and my publisher, Hachette, have talked about it on and off and just never kind of made it happen. And finally this year, we're like, okay, we're going to make it happen this year. And then calendars, etc. Because my August, September, October was so nuts. I finally got in the studio last month in November and actually recorded it. So, and it was, it's really funny. I was so nervous about doing it. And I was leaving that morning and I was like, okay, babe, bye. Like to wait, I'm going. And he's like, okay, bye. Like kiss me goodbye. And I was like, are you not going to say good luck? I was proper angry with him. And he was like, why? And I was like, because I'm doing something new. I'm really nervous. I don't know if I'm going to be good at this. Like, I can't believe you're not even acknowledging that I'm nervous about this. And he just looked at me like, you're fucking crazy. He was like, babe, you're going into a studio to read your own book for a day and a half. Like, you're not having to cancel retreats. You're not having to stress about launches. It's basically you're going to be doing kindergarten teacher for the next day and a half of reading stories to yourself and your audience. I'm like, fuck it, you're right. So pissed off. And it was just a really fun process. And it was good to be uncomfortable. I mean, obviously I do this podcast, but my God, I mean, this podcast, if it had to be edited properly, would be absolutely annihilated. So because they pretty much, you go into a room on your own. I had my amazing producer, what's he called? Sound engineer, Will, in the next room. And he would come through on my headphones and say, okay, no, we need to redo that one again because you stumbled over that word or you didn't pronounce that person's name properly. Or yeah, it was pretty hectic, but I really, really enjoyed it. It was actually, I found quite therapeutic just being in a dark room and just recording. And there were quite wet days as well that we did it. So yes, it's a thing. So if you have been waiting for the audiobook version of Get Remarkably Organized, or I know a lot of existing Get Remarkably Organized readers, I want to kind of revisit it again as an audiobook. It's there. So you can get it on wherever you get your audiobooks. So it's on Audible, it's on Apple Books, it's on Google Books, it's on Booktopia. So yeah, please do let me know what you think if you read it. And I'm just, yeah, I'm pretty buzzy about it because, as I said at the very outset of this podcast is really intimate. And I just love the idea of bringing that intimacy of a podcast to my book in a way that, you know, you just can't get that intimate normally, literally in people's ears and their heads. So yeah, I'm really, really, really excited about that. And massive gratitude to the team at Hachette Australia because they've been just a joy to work with yet again on that one. Okay, let's move over to the lows. It's funny how my energy shifts as I'm talking about the highs versus the lows. It's pretty entertaining to be here recording this episode for you. Okay, so a definite low for me has been, so what I have realized again this year, and I've kind of had to learn this lesson a few times in my business career, is I am very good at making money. As Wade said, I can turn money on with a tap when I want to and need to. However, I'm not as good as holding on to the money because in my mind, the money is coming in, therefore there's budget to spend on XYZ. And I don't mean like, you know, buying Chanel handbags. I mean like, okay, we can invest in another team member, or we can get some extra podcast episodes done, or I can get some new photos done, you know, ways of, you know, constantly reinvesting back into the business. And I think with the year that this has been, there were things that were locked in, like 3 retreats. That's, Jesus, that's well over 100 grand in revenue for my business. They were locked in, and then things started shifting, things started moving. There was refunds. We had to transition people over to mentoring, which meant there were different job codes, blah. It's just been a very hard year to keep track of where the money is and where it's coming from. If I think about it, I mean, if there was 7 spaces on that December retreat that I needed to cancel, like that was $2,500 a pop for that retreat. So, you know, that's 17.5 grand that we would have been banking on to come in, which just didn't come in. Like that's a pretty massive gap in the business when you're planning all the other things that you're investing in, like launches and paid advertising and production and all of the things. So that was a mass, no, I don't say it was a massive low. It was a failing on my part not to be more proactive with managing the cash. So I've gone through a few big cycles this year of the business where there's lots coming in. The bank account is looking extremely healthy. And then I find ways of investing that into the business. And I, you know, at the time, they definitely feel like investments. But then you're back to the cycle then again where the bank account's running low. And then you get the kind of the heart starter of, fuck, how are we going to get through the next 2 months until this next thing happens? So it's just poor business management on my part. What I will say is AJ has been really good at being proactive with that. We've got a plan in place. Wade's actually stepping in and helping more with kind of the financial modeling because that's his strength. Our strengths and weaknesses complement each other very, very beautifully in business. And we've learned that again this year and actually more so in even the last few months. So yeah, Wade's been helping with that. We've got every fortnight, we've got a finance meeting where we move through our actions and look at cash flow. So I'm really excited now to start the new year on with a clean slate and just have that nailed. Because you can't grow your business if you don't know where the cash is sitting from one end of the year to the next. So it's a really big focus for next year, is to nail that and have a proper system in place. And you know, it's a funny one. I was very, very good with the cash flow management. I had a brilliant finance team all through my The Remarkables Group days, because I knew it was my weakness. And I think when I started just with, you know, just Lorraine, just me, I was like, okay, well, I don't have to be as on it. And that's just bollocks. Like, of course, you need to be on it, no matter if it's just you or you've got 10,000 employees. So that's been a really big thing, because next year, I kind of see it as the year is growing up and really, to use my own language, stepping into my business more and stepping into the power and the potential that this business has. And part of that is to be all over the finances like a freaking, oh God, I'm not even going to use Wade's analogy, but yes, to be all over it like a rash. Okay, so that's the cash flow. That was a low, but as I said, it's not so much a low. It was a self-induced low. It was me kind of falling down in that sense, in that case, for sure. Okay, jumping onto another high. So it was actually another launch. It's funny, I think all my launches have featured in here at one stage or another. So I launched my Love Club in February of this year, and I've been meaning to do a membership for fucking hell, 2 years probably. And I kind of seeded it as part of my Step Into You program last year. People had put up their hands and said they were interested, and I just didn't get my ass in gear. I didn't strike when the arm was hot. And then finally in February, I was like, okay, Larry, get your ass in gear, get this membership launch. So we launched it, and we had some members, kind of a couple of dozen members sign up straight away, which is awesome. And then it's just been trying to figure out, okay, how do I grow it? Because of course, with a membership, I mean, it's great that I got a couple of dozen members straight away, but when the monthly investment is, and I'm saying relatively low when I talk about a mastermind, the way to grow those memberships is scale. I mean, that's how they kind of earn their seat at the table when it comes to the commercial model of a business like mine. And so we just had it open, and it's been open since March. And we just said, okay, well, I just would talk about it in every most love letters that I send every fortnight, just kind of would just keep it on the agenda and the radar with my audience. And we kind of get a couple of signups a month, but nothing really significant, nothing to kind of the point that I would need it to be at, as I said, in order for it to earn its place at the table. And when I was working with Jacqueline, my launch strategist on Get Remarkably Organized, we spent some time talking about Love Club and what we might do. And I actually engaged her after the Get Remarkably Organized launch, and we did a separate piece of work on Love Club and how we would do it. And straight away, she recommended that we close it down. So we closed down, as in not close down the Love Club, because I would never do that because it's amazing, but to actually close down access. So people can't just join anytime. And she said, instead, she suggested having two intakes a year, because that way then it creates more excitement. Because, I mean, as you all know, if there is something available, like a dress available in the shop down the road, and it's going to be there this time next year, you're in no rush to really get it. Whereas if you know that that dress is going to be taken out of the window and not going to be available for another 6 months, you're probably going to be more motivated to buy it. I mean, it's just basic scarcity marketing. And also it just made more sense, because if we had two people coming in a month, it was like, okay, here's the two new people and getting them settled in. And it was just very high touch for the team. There's a place for high touch products, but if it's a membership, which as I said, it's a relatively low monthly revenue piece for like per individual person, then it just doesn't make sense. So we also thought it would make for a much nicer member experience if we brought everyone on together. They all get to know each other, almost like, you know, first day at school for kids. And then we do another intake. So what we actually decided to do was we closed down access. I mean, no one even fucking noticed, to be honest, which is pretty hilarious, because people just didn't know what it was. I didn't talk about it enough. They just assumed that, oh, if I ever need it, I can sign up. That's fine. So we closed it down, and then we created a launch plan for November. And to be very honest with you, just after the dramas of the Get Remarkably Organized program, I was just like, I just can't face the big launch. Like, we'd planned this big blockbuster launch, and myself and AJ sat at my kitchen table one day and just picked the launch plan apart. And we're like, okay, how could we, and this is something I'm working on for next year, is to constantly ask myself, okay, if this was easy, how would I do it? If this was easy, because I do think we have a tendency, I know I bloody do, to overcomplicate things, over egg things, make them way more challenging than they need to be. So we asked ourselves, okay, if this was to be easy, how would we do it? And I was still, honestly, I think launches burn you out. I really do. I've got quite a number of friends now who do launches, and they'd say the same. And just the thoughts of going into another 3-day, like fecking ultra marathon. I was like, I just can't, I just don't have it in me to do it. So we created this super fun launch. We had Love Club Live on the Monday night. And I'm going to be really honest with you. I was on retreat with my mastermind group the previous week. I'd gotten back on the Friday, had a pretty big weekend. I think we were quite social that weekend. And we had already planned in Love Club Live. We had spots open for that, which was basically, we'd put on a special event on a Monday night. It was a virtual event and people could join in as if they were in a Love Club session. So the idea was like to try before you buy and experience that magic that Love Club has in it. And we had let our existing members know they were going to be on the session so we could kind of ask them about their experience. They were incredibly supportive. So we had this booked in on the Monday night and I honestly had not thought about the launch otherwise. We knew we were going to open cart that night, as in people could sign up and then close it the following Monday, and that was it. So I sat on my sofa with my notebook and I mapped out, okay, what? I've got it in here, right here in front of me in my notebook. I was like, okay, how are we going to do this launch? And I had a chat with the team and we just mapped out, okay, this is what we're going to do. These are the assets we need. This is what's going to happen today, tomorrow. And we just got on with it. And it was such a joyful launch. It was so fun. It was so easy. As I said, the existing Love Club members just made it so great because they were so generous with sharing their testimonials and being on the session and like chiming in saying, on my Instagram posts and the Zoom chats we were having, like I would totally sign up. And IGTV, I remember Instagram Live, I was doing a live, the night cart closed. And I think it was Caitlin saying Love Club has been life changing for me. I was like, oh my God, I love you. Thank you so much, my dear. So, and you know, that was coming from an authentic place for her, I think. Not Lorraine's paying me to say this. So it was just lovely. And we got, We almost tripled the number of members in the program, in the membership, which is brilliant. And it just seems to be going really well. So we're 3 weeks since launch now. And I've actually got tonight, as I'm recording this, I've got my first session, my monthly session with the group since the launch. So it'll be really, really nice to see new faces on there. The Facebook group is teeming with conversation. I was in there yesterday and it's just buzzing in there. So yeah, it was really nice. I just feel very smiley just talking about the launch. And I think it was a really important one for me because it was almost like an energetic reset after the Get Remarkably Organized launch. It was just felt positive. Cart was only open for a week. It was very easy on my energy, which was really important because just around that time as well, I had so much mentoring on. Like I was doing back-to-back mentoring because, of course, there were so many people from retreats who then wanted to do mentoring. So it was just a lot of mentees that we hadn't necessarily planned for. Awesome, but hadn't planned for. So yeah, it was really, really great. And then I've got another launch coming up in early February next year. So, and that will be a big launch. So it felt like, I feel like ready and I feel excited to go into that one, which I think is really important. I think if we hadn't had the Love Club launch, I would have felt like, okay, here we go again. And I definitely don't feel like that, which feels amazing. So yes, that was a very big high. Where am I going now? Trying to read my scribbles here in these notes. Ah, the other thing, I did touch on this briefly, but I did want to give it kind of a name check of its own right. It was just how I approached my planning this year. So I have done quarterly planning for the last 8.5 years. If you want to know how I do it, I did do an episode a few episodes ago, which is how I do my annual business planning. Had a lot of feedback on that already. It's only been up a few days as I'm recording this. So yeah, you can check out the process that I use because I do get a lot of questions about it. But I think taking myself elsewhere, so taking myself down to Bondi in October, doing it again in September, doing it again just last week, it's just been such a game changer because I've just realized how much more bandwidth you have when you're physically removed from the day-to-day of your business, your team, your kids, your partner, household, fucking laundry, whatever, you know, all the different things that take up mental real estate in our heads. So that was really, really great. It's one of the best decisions I've made this year was to actually take myself away and commit to doing that planning. And it's obviously, I mean, it's not crazy expensive, but it is an outlay and it's time away from family and business, but my God, is it worth it? Like, yeah, can't even express how worth it that's been. So I definitely want to keep that going next year. So I'll do that again. What will I do to go away again? Yeah, end of March, because I've planned my first quarter next year already as part of that annual planning last week. So yeah, and taking the team through it and so on. So yes, end of March, you will see me down in Bondi again doing that planning process. It was a really, really good thing this year. And kind of related to that one-ish is, and this is a low, I think it's been my energy management this year. So if you followed me for a while, you know that Bali is like my happy place. I feel like I go to Bali ideally a couple of times a year and get a real soul body, healer, everything. You know, just get a full charge up and I come back and I'm just ready to go for the following kind of six to 12 months. So I went to Bali in February this year, literally just pre kind of COVID. I went the third week in February, but unfortunately I was actually quite sick. I had Bali belly when I was there for the first time ever. And I think that was my, Jesus, I think that was like my 10th trip to Bali and I've never ever had it before. So I just feel like I didn't have the full experience. I got sick on day two and I was just, I mean, not very sick for the rest of the 6 days, but just very, very weak. Just didn't have the energy to do anything. So I don't feel like I got the full top up. And then obviously going to Bondi in June was great. I feel like that was a really good charge up, but it was only 24 hours. September was a great charge up again, only 24 hours. Went last week and I set my Monday mentor that went out yesterday as I'm recording this was all about, you know, feeling it, like feeling this year. And Michelle and my team saying that this year has felt a month too long. And I just think I was just very, very tired in Bondi last week doing the two nights, which has been, for everyone, just been a big year and a lot of energy, a lot of change, a lot of supporting other people, trying to support myself and so on. So I feel a low this year, and this is kind of more related to personal, but obviously our energy is what our businesses run off. I don't think I managed my energy properly this year. And what I mean by that is, if I was to kind of have a do-over of this year and it was available kind of time-wise and financially-wise and so on, would be to actually do a proper retreat, like do a week away in Australia somewhere, just to do the unplug, the deep work, the deep rest, because that's what sustains me. Like I know what works for me. I'm not someone who wants to be around loads of other people, like a week away. I love doing like a health retreat where there's other women who I can kind of tap in and out of as we want to with each other. But just that week, I think that would have made a big difference, particularly when I get to this time of the year, like mid-December, when I'm just feeling pretty flogged, as I think a lot of us are. I mean, I can see Lexi's tired. I can see like her little eyes just look tired, even though she's had like a great sleep the night before. So yeah, more than any year, I think this has been limping to the finish line year. But I know for me next year, that's something that I'm going to be really proactive. I planned out my business next year, but not like personal goals with Wade. We're going to do that between Christmas and New Year's like we do every year. But I think, yeah, just factoring in time for a retreat somewhere in Australia just to go and do that deep recharge, because it just changes the game so massively. And as Peter Kelly, one of my beautiful friends, says, her brilliance comes from her rest. That's where my ideas come from. How ironic is it that I could be sitting at my desk trying to think of a brilliant idea and I get into the bath and actually relax for once and that idea for that mastermind drops in? I mean, that just says it all to me. That's where you get those insights from, not from the go, 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 masculine energy, hustle, hustle, frantically like a monkey tapping at your keyboard trying to get an idea happening. So yeah, that would be a low. It's actually my last low, so we're doing pretty well. I think I've done as a report card on this year, I think I've been pretty blessed and yeah, fortunate that that's been the case. And some other ones, these are kind of smaller wins, but I did want to touch on them. I mean, a big one is just, as I mentioned already, just working with the suppliers we work with. Greg is my photographer, videographer. Stacey is my beautiful graphic designer. Jess is my incredible website designer. Obviously my team, AJ, Danelle, Michelle, Lyndall, my podcast producer. Like, I just feel like we've had another full year working together, all of us, and they're just gold, you know, just having suppliers that you don't have to look behind your back. Do you know what I mean? I'm not articulating this properly. Having suppliers that you don't have to look backwards, you know, they do their job. They get it to you when they say they're going to do it. They spot holes in your work and say, hey, Lorraine, this is a problem. That is just worth its weight in gold. In a business like mine, I was sitting with my friend Jules a while ago, just talking about my business, and because she was looking at different business models for hers, there's for different kind of routes that she might explore. And I got out my sketchpad and I was sketching out my business and I was listening at the team, and she was like, Lorraine, you've got 11 people in your team. And I was like, oh my God, I do. So when I say that, I mean, I might work with Greg once a month, but he's in my team and when I need him, he's there. So I think that was pretty exceptional to realize that and just realize, yeah, how supportive they've been of my business this year. And of course, I would hope how supportive I've been of theirs as well. So that's been a biggie. Another one, I mean, I did touch on this already, but just getting over that mental block of paid social, like just getting used to that. Because what happened was we started with paid social to get people on that GSD challenge, which was a free 5-day challenge I did in the run up to the Get Remarkably Organized program. And then we continued obviously promoting the program while Cart was open. And then what I've been doing since then is consistently building my list. So I've got it's freaking awesome. I've got my to-do list template out there. And what I've offered people then is a tutorial. So there's either a PDF tutorial to how to use the to-do list, or I've filmed a very simple 10-minute video tutorial. And that's just been getting so many signups, which is brilliant. So my idea is, my strategy is that between kind of last October and this new launch in February, that I will be consistently building my list so that when we come to launch time, it's not all about the new people. There's people who've already been in my ecosystem that I've been consistently communicating with. And so that, yeah, hopefully they'll be kind of in a position where they trust me, they know me, they know that I add value. And before I actually launch a paid program. So yeah, that was a really, really big one. And another win, this is a relatively recent one, was getting on top of my content. So I'm very disorganized with my social media content. My emails, I'm really on top of. My podcast, I'm really on top of. But the social media one has been the block for me for, Jesus, day one, for a number of years now. So I think having a content calendar for the last couple of months, and then just really simple, just every Monday having an hour where I sit down and write my Instagram post for the week, it makes a massive difference. I put them into a Google Doc, I identify which images I want to accompany them, and then Danielle then goes in on a Monday and she loads them all into Later, which is the the social media scheduling platform that we use. And that has just been so good because I've been more consistent than I have ever, ever been. And what I was afraid of is, particularly during the Get Remarkably Organized launch, I was really trying to create a lot more content on Instagram and by nature and by association Facebook, because we weren't getting the paid ads working. So I was like, okay, if we're going to kind of be limited to certain avenues that people are going to know about this program, then I need to do more social, as in organic social media content. And also I need to get on IGTV. Again, that was another thing that the Grow launch pushed me to do, is to actually just pop my IGTV cherry as well, which has been really fun. So I didn't want to be seen as someone who only posts a lot when they've got something to sell. Like, I was like, oh, that just feels so yuck. So just having this weekly, I mean, I don't think it's perfect, but it's a lot more than I was doing. That's been really, really good, just to have that hour of power on a Monday. And for example, yesterday I was with the team all morning doing planning and I was mentoring all afternoon. So I just sat down at my desk for an hour on Sunday and just did that. You know, that's just what you have to do sometimes. So that's been really, really good. I think the other thing that's been really helpful is doing a photo shoot every 3 months or so as well. So I did a big shoot with Greg in June, got loads of images, which saw me through the Get Remarkably Organized launch, lots of social media content. Did another smaller shoot with AJ a month ago. And then I did another shoot with Greg last week, which is kind of like my summer shoot. So lots of nice beachy summery photos that I can use for my next launch. And again, to get me through kind of the next 3 months of social media content. So that's been really good. That pretty much means I pack a massive bag of clothes and then we go on location wherever we're going. And I just change clothes every 10 minutes. We get lots of shots, move on, tie my hair up, change my lipstick. It's been really, really good. So they are the highs. And I mean, I obviously need to say the biggest high and the biggest one that I've been saving is you listening, who are part of my community. And whether you tell your friends about me, you tune in every week, you read my Monday mentors, you sign up for my programs, you do my free challenges and my events, you know, you're what makes my business happen. If it wasn't for you listening right now, I wouldn't get to, you know, be in the incredibly privileged position that I'm in to get to connect with all the amazing women and some men that I get to connect with. So yeah, you're my biggest highlight. So I want to say a massive thank you for all of your support for my business. As I said, in whatever way you supported it, whether it was just through your ears or through your wallet or through telling your friends about me or sharing an email or sharing an Instagram post, I just want to say a huge, huge, huge thank you to you for that. You are my high of this year. And then I just wanted to touch on what's coming next year. So I was going to do a whole episode on my goals for next year, but I'm not actually going to be organized in time because, as I said, I've only done half the picture. I've done the business, but not the personal stuff yet. So just to touch on a few goals for business next year, I want to write my fourth book, which is, I don't know if I've got five books now. Get Remarkably Organized is an audiobook. I think that might be being a bit chancing my armor, or being a bit too ambitious, but I want to write my fourth book. So I'm talking to Hachette Australia again about my fourth book with them. We've got the concept mapped out. So now it's a matter of kind of getting the rest of the Hachette team across that and hoping that they give it the green light. And I've booked out a few months of writing next year, which would be, yeah, love to get into my creative cave. And yeah, I don't want to talk about this book is yet, just in case it changes, but it summarizes, I think, the last 2 years of the work that I've been doing. Whereas I think Get Remarkably Organized summarized the previous 2 years. This is the most recent 2 years of what I'm doing. So yeah, that would be super exciting. And the other thing, another big goal for next year is to do a speaking tour. So I want to actually get out there and see people again. So just trying to figure out the most sensible way of doing that, because of course the last thing I want to do is book a fucking national speaking tour and then borders start closing left, right and center again. So I think what I'll do with that is make it more of a piecemeal approach, like do one in one state and then 4 weeks later kind of have the dates penciled in when I'll do the next one, but not kind of confirm anything until we've got more visibility on if we're going to be okay COVID wise. So yeah, I'd be really, really excited to do that. And what I'm actually thinking about doing is making it quite an immersive experience. No, I'm not actually going to talk about it anymore. I'm very excited about that one. Because yeah, I mean, I wasn't on the road at all, really. I didn't do any events this year of my own in person, other than my retreats, which is obviously a much smaller group. And last year I went to Adelaide, did an event in Canberra. I think I did 5 different events late last year and I just loved them. And just that level of connection you get in person. I mean, I love my virtual events and they've been a brilliant stopgap. And also for people who wouldn't normally be able to get to a main city to see me, they've been wonderful. But I'm really kind of got like a craving to actually get out there and see people again. And I'm afraid I'm going to get rusty. If I wait till 2022 before I host in-person events, Jesus, I won't be able to do public speaking anymore at all. So yeah, I'm really excited to do that. So they're my 2 biggies next year. I mean, to be honest, a lot of next year is finessing all the great stuff that we have done over the last 2.5 years. There's a lot of stuff that it's, making it bigger, making what we've already done bigger and better. And yeah, the biggest thing I want to create next year is more space in my business. I feel actually another load that I didn't actually talk about is I feel like... because I had that influx of new mentees that I wasn't necessarily planning for, which have been joyful to do. I've loved it, but I've been a lot busier. Like my days have been a lot fuller than normal and my response rate to my audience has been way lower. So Instagram I can stay on top of, that's manageable. But the emails, I mean, I get beautiful emails from my audience every single day. And I'm not someone who can say, hey, thanks for emailing, bye. Like I want to actually give them a proper response. So that's been a problem. Like my email inbox has been a problem for the last 3 months, I would say, since the Grow launch and then all the mentoring kicked off. So next year, I want to create a lot more space to be more responsive to my audience and more space just to think and be. I think this year was a lot of hustle, as I think it would have been for a lot of you in business listening. And I feel like next year, it's just less about hustle, more about space, doing the things that I do really, really, really well and having the space to enjoy them rather than feeling like I need to be rushing on to the next thing straight away. So yeah, I've obviously done a lot more thinking on that. I did a lot more thinking on that last week, but that's kind of my big mission statement for next year is more space and more responsivity to my audience, more connection. Okay, I think I actually recorded a lot longer than I expected to. I have no idea how long I've been talking for, but it's been really, really fun. As I said, this is really actually therapeutic and cathartic for me to create. And I'm hoping by sharing some of the behind the scenes in my business, the great bits and the not so great bits, that you've hopefully felt some solidarity with yourself and your business this year. And also hopefully maybe some ideas for you to bring into next year. I do like to share the highs and the lows because I think we can learn just as much, if not more, from the lows, really. So I'm hoping there's some nuggets in there for you that you can pick up and use in your own business this year and beyond. So I'm going to sign off for now. As I said, I don't know exactly what date I'm going to drop this episode. So I hope you enjoy the rest of the holiday season that I'm creating for you. And yeah, wishing you a wonderful, wonderful, I think it'll be post-Christmas now, but a happy new year. And I hope you're enjoying some downtime and this very, very special and well-earned break that we all need right now. Thank you for being part of this week's episode. It was remarkable to have you. I am always keen to hear your thoughts, questions, ideas, and suggestions for future topics for the podcast. So please get in touch on Instagram. My handle is @LorraineRemarks and through my website, lorrainemurphy.com.au. If you're enjoying what I'm putting out here, please do rate, review, or subscribe to the podcast so more people can find out about it and we can build this special community. Or even better, do all 3. Chat to you next week.